today on Real Radio.
God warns us in our lives. When we're off the course, God warns us. He's faithful. He might send friends. He might send strangers. You might hear a sermon. You might read a book. You might see something. You might have a close call. What's going on? God is warning.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called In God We Trust, Part 1, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. We really do appreciate you being here. God called the prophet Isaiah primarily to the nation of Judah and to the city of Jerusalem. Now, God wanted Judah to turn away from their sin and return to Him so that He could continue to bless them. Isaiah, by the way, is also called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because God used him not only to share the good news of the gospel and the coming Messiah, but also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In Isaiah chapter 7, we are reminded of how God is bound to His word, and that His word is true and lasts forever. Pastor Jack also challenged us to look at our own lives to see if our behavior matches up with the Bible. History is in the eyewitnesses of God's word. Even though Old Testament Bible prophecy covers vast amounts of time, its accuracy is answered in New Testament scripture. Now in Isaiah chapter 8, Isaiah has two sons, one whose name meant the remnant shall return, and the other whose name meant quick to plunder, swift to spoil. We'll see how their names will symbolize Isaiah's message. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that in God we trust means to hide into a refuge of perfect peace because He is the Lord. God wanted Judah to trust Him and not turn from His commands so that He could bless them and allow them to prosper in peace. But if they refused to obey God, well, they'd be cursed in everything they do. And now in his lesson called In God We Trust, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Isaiah chapter 8, but tonight we're looking at what I believe you'll get out of this chapter, and please mark it down. The title is, In God We Trust. Sound familiar? In God We Trust? That's going to be the overriding lamentation that God has against the southern kingdom of Judah, as Isaiah the prophet is ministering to the nation as a whole, but specifically to the southern kingdom of Judah. And by the way, when we mention the word trust, the Hebrew word in the Old Testament for trust, as in God we trust, as in trust in the Lord with all your heart, is the word that means to hide into. Interesting verbiage, huh? To hide into a refuge. It means to be confident, safe, secure, bold. Listen to this. You'll appreciate this word. It means to be careless, as in carefree. Wouldn't you like to be carefree? Did you know you can be carefree? By the way, listen, I want to tell you something right now. If you are carefree about certain things or things because you truly trust God, some of your closest friends are going to accuse you of not caring. They're going to say, why don't you get down to the dumps and get bummed out and get suicidal like I am? What's wrong with you? And you'll tell them, I'm trusting in the Lord, and they'll think you're nuts. But the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, that He will give you who trust in the Lord perfect peace because your mind is stayed, anchored to, hiding in the Lord, in Him. God wants you to trust Him. We talk about that a lot as Christians, but we need to trust Him. And the book of Isaiah chapter 8 tonight is going to help us do that very thing. So as we pick it up, chapter 8, verse 1, we'll look at the first several verses here. In fact, verses 1 through 4 up front. In God we trust. Why? How so? Because, look, note it, He is the Lord. Will you write that down? That's what God is trying to communicate to the southern kingdom of Judah. Trust in Him because He's the Lord. Now, it's been a while since we've been in Isaiah. You might have forgotten. But Isaiah the prophet is ministering to King Ahaz. You know King Ahaz, the famous knucklehead goofball king. He was a bad king. And Isaiah is speaking to him. God tells Isaiah what to say, and Isaiah speaks to King Ahaz. Ahaz had a hard time trusting God. Ahaz leaned upon the resources of government, the resources of power. It says in verse 1, moreover, the word of the Lord, or the Lord spoke to me, some of your Bibles say, Isaiah speaking, take a large scroll and write on it with a man's pen concerning, here's his son's name, poor kid, Merhal Shalalazbaz. I'm not kidding. If you were here in the introduction, that's his second son's name. By the way, at the moment of the writing of this, his son's not yet born. So God is prophesying, name your kid this. And I will take for myself faithful witnesses, says Isaiah, to record. It says there, Uriah the priest, Zechariah the son of it's with a Y actually, Yehorbakai. Verse 3, then I went to the prophetess. This is Isaiah's wife. So Mrs. Isaiah, we know she's a prophetess. And she conceived and bore a son. Then the Lord said to me, call his name Merhashalalazbaz, for behold, the child shall have, before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father, my mother, mommy and daddy. The riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria will be taken away before the king of Assyria. Now, again, I got to back up a bit because it's been a little while since we've been here. You guys, Judah is in the south, the southern kingdom. Two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. The kingdom's divided. Israel's in the north. The 10 tribes are in the northern tribes. The two southern tribes, Judah. So they're broken up. Israel in the north has been making a war deal with Syria. Not Assyria, Syria. Both appear in this book. So watch this. They're forming a confederacy to attack Judah. So in some ways, it's going to be a civil war when Israel is planning to attack its brother down south, Judah. But what's going to happen is Assyria, an A placed in front of Syria, that is a region that encompasses today Iran, much of Iran, not all of Iran, but Iran and Iraq, the region of the Euphrates and Tigris River. And so Assyria is going to get involved, but Syria and Israel are planning attack against Judah. And Ahaz is freaking out. And Isaiah is going to speak, and he's going to point some things out. And so as we look at this, keep this in mind. In fact, as you consider that God is warning the nation, church, listen, God always warns a nation before the shoe drops, as we put it, or before the spanking begins. God always warns. Listen, you know that's true. God warns us in our lives. When we're off the course, God warns us. He's faithful to warn us. He'll send warnings to us. He might send friends. He might send strangers. You might hear a sermon. You might read a book. You might see something. You might have a close call. What's going on? God is warning. And I believe God is warning, listen, not only Judah and Israel in the north. He had been warning Israel, but they were far gone by now. But listen, church, I believe this. I believe that God is warning America. Remember, we saw last time, do you even remember that I quoted Benjamin Franklin in his statement before the first Congress, and he said that I believe that God governs in the affairs of men, and he called upon the first Congress to go and pray, to seek God's hand, because there's no way that an empire can rise without his aid. Well, I believe that God is warning America. And that's not hyperbole. I'm not exaggerating. I believe from my understanding of the Bible that God is warning this nation. But when he warns a nation, who does he really warn? How does this really happen? I think I can argue from the Bible that when God warns a nation, he warns the believers in that nation. So the believers in that nation will intercede, pray for the nation. Because the answer to any nation's dilemma is God's people. Now, listen, I know we're in the book of Isaiah chapter 8, but I'm going to ask you to hold your finger there, and I'm going to ask you to turn way to the left and go to the book of Deuteronomy. You might be saying, well, what does that have to do with the book of Isaiah? It has everything to the book of Isaiah, and it has everything to do with us, and here's the reason why. Isaiah had the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy was already available. They had this to read. So do you. So do I right now. So much so, you're turning to it in your Bible. Is that awesome or what? The same thing I'm going to read and you're going to follow along and watch, they had. Are you there? Yes. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. God says this. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. Wow. Church, listen, friends. This is God speaking. Verse 2. You will experience all these things if you obey the Lord your God. This is where you're sitting. I mean, this is your state. Okay? Listen. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds, the flocks, will be blessed. Next slide, guys. Your fruit baskets and bread baskets will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. Oh, that's a good... Oh, is that, who will conquer our enemies? God says, you walk with me, you obey me, I'll conquer your enemies. Wow. Listen, they will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill you or establish you as his people, as he swore he will do. Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. Just park right there for a second. Keep in mind the pictures that you just saw and that you're looking at. Everything that you just saw right there is California, for example. I'm just talking about California right now. And what do you know? Do you know about the state that you're in right here, right now, California? Did you know at one time California was the eighth largest economy in the world? It was the eighth largest economic nation in the world. Did you know that, California? You say, Jack, you're messed up. It's a state. It's a state. I know. I know. It was not only the richest state in America. If it was a country, it had the eighth largest economy in the world. And then it went to the sixth largest economy in the world. Unfortunately, now we are just about absolutely broke. We are just about absolutely bankrupt. Why? Just, I don't know the answer. I'm just asking you, just be thinking, why is this? Did you know that when it comes to space technology, aviation. Did you know aviation was born, modern aviation was born in California? Did you know that? I don't know if you know that or not. In fact, you don't have to go very far to see almost a little museum on that very thing. If you've ever gone to Disneyland, to Soaring Over California, and you're in line waiting to get on the ride, somebody knew enough at Disneyland to put up on the hall those photos of great aviation achievements all in California that changed the world. Did you know that in 1845 to about 1851, that you could walk from Mexico and from Canada in the middle of the night on a campfire lit path on foot, unmolested, with thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of foreigners, Frenchmen, Russians, Peruvians, Argentinians, walking to where? California, in the gold rush. Did you know that? Did you know the gold rush discovery in California changed the economic value and and standards of the world, did you know that it was the course that I believe God was setting for America that would eventually propel America into what is called the gold standard? God blessed this nation so much that it was off the charts. Did you know that just around the Bay Area, some of the greatest technological developments called computers, Microsoft, Apple, and the like were born in California? Have you ever heard of Pentecostal people, Pentecostals? Have you ever heard of them? Do you know where that was born? The Pentecostal movement was born on Azusa Street in Los Angeles. Did you know that? Did you know that that revival swept the nation? God's been good to California. God's been good to America through California. Listen, what happens in California doesn't stay in California. It changes the world. Did you know that California would still sets trendy patterns or fashions. The movie industry used to be something to boast about. Now it's something to run from. But I'm just going from memory right now. When Father Sarah came and planted the missions in California, it changed the region of the West as far out as Colorado, where the gospel was preached. The El Camino Real, you drive it. The King's Highway, Jesus' Highway, right here in California. It's pretty amazing. Do you know what Los Angeles means? The city of angels. My, have the mighty have fallen. Right? You see, Jack, what's your point? There was a time, no nation's perfect, I get that. But there was a time, I'm old, apparently, because there was a time, even though I did not grow up in a Christian home, you got your gasoline on Saturday because on Sunday, everything was closed because people honored Sunday. You couldn't grocery shop. There was nothing open on Sunday. Anybody remember that? Look, it was amazing. You had to plan ahead because Sunday was a day of worship in America. What happened? We were the envy of the world, just California alone. Did you know, it is, and it's still the case, I don't see how it's going to last for long, but did you know that the Salinas Valley up there near Monterey, do you know what its nickname is? It's the Salad Bowl of America. Some have even said it's the Salad Bowl of the world. Remarkable. Some of the greatest wines in the world come from California. Some of the richest people in the world live in California. God's blessed California. My question is, how much longer will God bless California? Do we trust in God? Deuteronomy continues, verse 11. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land He swore to your ancestors to give you, blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from His rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow money from them. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will always be on top and never at the bottom. You must not turn away from any of the commandments I am giving you today, nor follow after other gods and worship them. Look at the warning. Don't turn from my commands. Well, what? I don't want God to tell me what to do. Wait. God says, just follow and you'll be a blessed person. You'll be a blessed state. You'll be a blessed country. Verse 15, Deuteronomy 28. But if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands and the decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come and overwhelm you. Your towns and your fields will be cursed. That word means violence, by the way. They'll be cursed with violence. Next slide on the screen. Your fruit baskets and bread baskets will be cursed. Your children and your crops will be cursed. This is a current picture from California. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be cursed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, it will be cursed. The Lord himself will send on you curses, confusion, frustration. Now that sounds like Sacramento to me. In everything you do. Next slide. Until at last you are completely destroyed for doing evil and abandoning me, says the Lord. The picture was taken last summer in California. The Lord will afflict you with disease until none of you are left in the land that you are about to enter and to occupy. The Lord will strike you with wasting diseases, fever, and inflammation. Next slide. With scorching heat and drought and with blight and mildew. Have any of you driven up north on I-15 and have seen these signs? Lisa and I just did this. In fact, listen, honestly, I'm not kidding. One sign after another said, Pelosi, they had signs. Did you see them? Pelosi, release the water. Brown, give us water. All along I-5, pray for rain, pray for rain, pray for rain. All along I-5. If you doubt what I'm telling you right now, get in your car, get over to the Grapevine, head down as soon as you hit Bakersfield, just about 15 minutes north of Bakersfield, you'll see these signs. You will see, as far as your eye can see, trees, dead trees, because there's no water. The town of Mandito or Mandita? Do you know what the unemployment rate is in Mandita since they cut the water off there? Yeah, somebody said it over here. It's 71%. It's the last number we heard, unemployment. It's gone. You want to know why? You want to know what happened? First of all, keep this in mind. All the water that ever covered the earth in Noah's flood didn't go anywhere. I mean, it didn't leave the planet. It's under the earth. It's on top or under the earth. Did you know there's more water under the earth than it is on top of the earth? Did you know there's bigger rivers than the Colorado underground than there are atop? Did you know that? God's not making any more water. The water you drink tonight out of your bottle or out of your tap, have you ever thought about how old that water is? Did you think of that? Have you ever thought about that? Some of you are going, what? It's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years old. It's not that God's not providing water. It's just that we mismanage water. You say, what does this have to do with the study? It has everything to do with this. Our state's in deep, deep trouble.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called In God We Trust, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today. And don't forget, when things go wrong because of our disobedience, we have a tendency to blame God when He is the one who wants to make things right. In God We Trust, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the actual day He was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. We're excited to let you know that Pastor Jack has recommended a book of the month for May. It's called Haley's Bible Handbook. Haley's Bible Handbook makes the wisdom and the message of the Bible accessible to everyone. Whether you read the Bible many times or maybe you've never checked it out before, you'll find insights into the religious culture, along with maps and settings in which each story of the Bible unfolds. Haley's Bible Handbook is written for both mind and heart, and it's completely revised and updated. There are also easy-to-understand sections on how we got the Bible and the history of the church. So head on over to our website and purchase your copy of Haley's Bible Handbook for yourself, or maybe even for someone you know who needs a little extra help in studying the Bible. Again, you'll find Haley's Bible Handbook. That's at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.